Hare Krishna. Hearing all of you, I want to participate in all the sessions, really. And I remember a time where I was not giving presentations myself. And when I was young and the world was young, then I would sometimes go through these retreats. I remember there was in Radhadesh, and there were like six programs a day of Krishna Katha or philosophy, and I would go to these six programs. And I remember it was sometimes difficult. I would be half asleep on my chair, especially after the noon session, which is the afternoon prasadam. One feels like being on a graveyard as far as the energy is concerned. And then I was sitting there and listening to communications seminar or this or that. But now where we have seminars or retreats where it's just Krishna Katha, I really would love to be 30 years younger and just participate in everything, take notes, steal all the ideas and present them myself in other retreats and everything like that. But I can only encourage you, please do this. You know, it is very useful for your spiritual life, and you will see, just sitting there and hearing all this and thinking about all these concepts will do something wonderful. Well, I will be talking about something which I have really worked on since 5 years, on and off. And I've sometimes explained a little bit of it in seminars, but the material basically is new and fresh. It will be Akrura's journey from Mathura to Krishna. And I have divided this in two phases. His journey on his chariot. He rides on a golden chariot, which Kamsa has given to him. It's absolutely brand new. Kamsa had not the opportunity to pass one little gas on the seat. It's absolutely fresh and free from demoniac touch. And Akura sits there and passes the deers on his right side, and he finally sees something which throws him into the abyss of ecstasy. I will try to discuss this, but then there will be the inner journey, which I believe every devotee of Krishna makes. See, when we are coming to Krishna consciousness and try to actually come to Krishna conscious realizations, there are many internal things going on, like, for instance, hope, and on the other side, doubts that one can actually reach the goal. And I have taken all these things out of the Bhagavatam and will address them in my Krishna Katha in a way that Akura's journey all of a sudden becomes the journey of my audience. At least I will try to do so and address the taking Akura's journey as the archetypical journey of a soul who is going towards Krishna, and then drawing conclusions for our own journey. I must say, since I am in Krishna consciousness, I always have seen this process as a journey, making steps which bring us forward and which bring us to different obstacles, and everything which a journey is standing for, that I have seen is happening in my spiritual life and the spiritual life of all the other devotees and fellow God brothers who are with me on this journey. Now, the best way for such a journey is expressed in the Mahabhagavatam, Mahabharata. Mahajana Yena Gata Sapanta. One should follow the footsteps of those who have walked before us and reached the goal, the great souls, in other words. I don't know if you have ever followed footsteps in your life. I had to do this once in Russia when I was lost. I had gone a wrong way, and there was for me no way to find my way home. So what all I saw all of a sudden after just fighting through the snow was some footsteps in front of me, and then stepped into the same footsteps and finally reached the edge of civilization again. So in our journey to Krishna, I would like to say that many times we feel lost. Will we actually reach the goal on our own? But if we have clearly visible footsteps of great soul, great souls before our eyes, it will be very easy. Now, no doubt, all of Krishna's pastimes are very, very interesting. And at least three speakers we have heard, starting with Madhavananda, who will speak on one pastime. And as I heard him speaking, introducing his subject, I thought, that's the most important pastime. Then I heard Mother Jagatarini. She has announced that she will use the notes of Radha Govinda Maharaj's excellent Krishna Katha. And I thought, well, that's the most important. Then I heard Bhujan Prabhu talking about the sweet childhood pastimes. And I thought, that's the most important. But as I'm sitting now here, I think what I will tell you is the most important. And I do this on the strength of Shukadev Goswami. In the pastimes which we hear, about to hear, Shukadev Goswami describes that the ecstatic journey which Akrura took should be the very goal of life for all beings. He has not said this about any other pastime. But he says it in his own words, how important this journey of Akura to see Krishna is. Deham britam yanato hitvadambambiyam sucham sandeshat yo harelinga dashana shravana divhi. He says, the very goal of life for all embodied beings who came to the Govardhan retreat. No, that is in trying to make a little advertisement here. Here it is, how it is. The very goal of life for all embodied beings is this ecstasy which Akrura experienced when upon receiving Kamsa's order, he put aside all pride, fear, and limitation and absorbed himself in seeing, hearing, and describing the things that reminded him of Lord Krishna. Akrura, in the beginning of his journey, is full of doubts. Why should Krishna receive me? I'm a Kamsa Duta. I'm a messenger of Kamsa. Kamsa has sent me. He will not even receive me. But as he goes on and on and on his journey, he totally gets lost in ecstasy until finally he sees the footprints of Krishna, which remind him, of course, of Krishna. And he then jumps from this high chariot and just throws himself on the ground and starts to yell and shout and roll and cover himself with the dust of Braj. So this is this is supposed to happen in your life as well. One day you will actually become an ecstatic Hare Krishna devotee. You will jump out of the bus when you come to Vrindavan. There's something which reminds you of Krishna. Maybe a peacock feather strewn across the ground, and because you have remembered and heard so much about Krishna, this simple peacock feather catapults you on the highest levels of bhava bhakti, it's an udipan, and you are helpless. So this journey, which is necessary for all of us to come to this level of ecstasy, is something important. Our literature, aesthetic rasa literature, speaks of an abhisar. Abhisar is a lover's journey to the beloved. On such a journey, the lover will overcome all types of obstacles which are on the path just to meet the beloved. The lover will use great determination. He or she will move forward with great enthusiasm and speed. And I hope by sharing with you Akrura's journey, which ended in this ecstatic meeting of Krishna on a very high level of Krishna consciousness, that this journey will also become your own journey. I hope this katha will empower you actually to become so eager, so enthusiastic, and to finally become a little bit faster than our slow-moving advancement is usually there. I hope, in other words, that by seeing this archetypical journey of a soul who goes and meets the Lord of his life, you will get inspirations for your journey. I would like to share with you a little bit what an abhisar, a love journey, is like. Radha has just left the home. She wants to hurry to Krishna, who's somewhere, she does not know where exactly, waiting for her in a grove in Vrindavan. There are innumerable obstacles on her path to meet Krishna, just like we also feel sometimes obstacles on our path. And Radha finally sits down and thinks, how will I ever reach Krishna? There are so many obstacles on my way. My sister-in-law is envious of me. My husband is bitter. My mother-in-law is crooked, so crooked, she just wants to always hinder me when I want to go to Krishna. There is an enemy party headed by Padma, who's very strong, and they want to take Krishna away from me. And Krishna is out there somewhere in the forests, surrounded by his cows and cowherd boyfriends all day long. But because Srimati Radharani is thinking of Krishna in so much love and devotion, that she is, her enthusiasm and determination is unflagged. That is, it's not coming down. She has her gopi friends, and they deceive her in-laws. Then finally she managed to slip out of her husband's house and plunges herself into the darkness of the night, into the forest. My dear devotee, this is happening a little later than now. As she wants to leave Javad, she hears the watchman calling out, so that thieves and anyone is not coming close by. And she trembles and hides in the shadow of a house and waits until the watchman passes by. And then with the help of one of her manjaris, she finally manages to evade all possible detectives and just goes onto one path in Vrindavan. To go unnoticed, Radha is dressed in dark blue. It's a dark night. Her anchor belts, which might tell her a way to others, she has bound them with a cloth onto her ankles so that they don't make noise. When she asks her girlfriends, which path do we take? Which path leads us to Krishna? The girlfriends say, oh Radha, better don't talk because your teeth are so white that they will give you away. They will shine through the night. And someone might see us. In the darkness, sometimes Radha takes the wrong path, but she is not to be deterred. And if the path is longer, she just walks longer. Nothing can thwart her determination. Not the thorns which are there, not the snakes, and not even the moon of Braj. My dear devotees, Radha's soft lotus feet are compared to the petals of a lotus flower, which are even more softer than these rose petals. Very soft. You can try to touch these rose petals and get an idea what softness means. But when there are thorns on the way, Radha is just so determined that she just hurries on, crossing over the thorns. We walked a little while ago in Kamyavan, and one of our devotees had stepped in five thorns after each other, and finally he sat on the road and said, I give up, I can't walk any longer. Radha just hurries through the dark forest. Then there are some king cobras standing up, you know, like the king cobra does. Now, Radharani is usually afraid even of the image of a cobra, a shadow or a picture. But as she is on her way to Krishna and sees the king cobra, she takes both of her hands to neutralize the cobra. With one hand, she goes and covers the jewel, which is giving light away, so that someone could maybe see her. And with the other hand, she is covering the mouth of the cobra to cover the hissing sound, which is there from the cobra. Krishna, Krishna. Then one of her sakhi says, Radhe, it's getting late. The moon is rising. And we will maybe be detected. Then Radha, who's usually just so humble and shy, shoots a glance at the moon. And the moon stops because Radha's determination is so very strong that she stops even the moon. So nothing can stop her. Because she is ready for Krishna. One gopi addresses her as Ayota Dyat Kamala Vadana, O you whose face is like a blooming lotus. Totally open. Srimati Radharani's eyes are open to see Krishna. Her ears are open to find Krishna. And her heart is open, like a night blossoming lotus flower which moves through the forest of Vrindavan. This is the normal picture of an abhisar, and Sanskrit aesthetics have taken from this example of the and made their own compositions on Abhisars. Rupa Goswami has also taken from the rich Sanskrit literature and has embellished his description. My dear devotees, when do you go on a journey? This is an archetypical journey, I want to say. I've talked about Radha's journey. Obviously, you're not Srimati Radharani. But this is... do you know what is an archetypical thing? It has features which appear in all other journeys, for instance, or in all other comparable efforts. Akrura, as we watch him, you know, sitting on that golden chariot, moving through the morning mist towards Vrindavan, he will think many, many things which you can find are going on in your mind. He will see many obstacles which you will also see in your life. He will have answers to cross over the obstacles. And in this way, his journey, which is also a journey of love, becomes an exemplar journey for all of us, which will hopefully end in this prophecy of Shukadev Goswami, or this verse of Shukadev Goswami, that we also become so full of ecstasy in our Krishna consciousness, so full of eagerness, so full of enthusiasm, and so full of speed also, that we will move forward by the mercy and the encouragement of Giriraj on our journey. Please come to this katha. Please be well rested. I will, when you are falling asleep, call your sweet name, and it is there for the international crowd of devotees to hear. No, I'm just joking. And please, and after this, I'm expecting all of us to be changed. I personally can't wait. I have taken the notes, but I have only taken notes for some of the things which I forget. There are many things which I have stored in my mind, which I will try to share with you, which will be hopefully extremely useful for your journey back home, back to Godhead. That's it. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.